fantastic, man. Nobody does it better than us. KC, we rock it like nobody killer. Oh yeah, now it's time for you to go bananas. Yeah.
We're listening to a big hit song from a local band called The Fantastics, with a PH. It's called Bananas, and it kind of captures the mission and vision of the band, which is to make them go bananas on the dance floor. And there are lots of opportunities to do that because The Fantastics have 4 live shows this month. I'm Gina Kaufman. This is KCUR's Central Standard, and Kemet Coleman is with us. He's the rapper from the band. Hi, Kemet.
How's it going?
Good. How are you?
Good. Thanks for having me.
How would you describe The Fantastics?
The Fantastics are a dance band on a high level. Beneath that, we are a intergenerational, interdisciplinary musical ensemble with various different backgrounds and with the ultimate goal of creating a new experience for live music and getting people on the dance floor.
We might be able to hear what you're saying a little more clearly when we listen to another clip, because people might have just been like getting down to bananas, but I do feel like we should let them know that later in the song, there are all these different parts that sound in many ways nothing alike. So can we listen real quick?
Yeah, sure.
So this is later in that same song we were just hearing. That's some serious metal. And, I mean, it actually gets even crazier with different genres happening all at once later on.
Yes. Yeah, we definitely try to incorporate as many genres as possible to create not chaos, but a winding river of music, basically.
What's your background musically?
My background is in gospel and rap and R&B. I was pretty much forced to do music by my mother, who forced me to play the piano, and I resented it until I started making music on my own and becoming a beat maker.
The resenting piano lessons is a familiar story.
Yes, I never wanted to practice, but I was forced to.
And you grew up on gospel and R&B?
Definitely, yeah. My father actually was an AME preacher, African Methodist Episcopal, and my mother was Baptist and pretty fundamental Baptist, so gospel was definitely a huge part of my upbringing. And my brothers were obviously into rap music, being 80s babies, and they're like 10 and 11 years older than I am. So I was ultra exposed to different genres of the Black experience, basically.
Do you think that the Black experience is an important part of what you're bringing to this music?
Yes, I think so, at least. Just the spirit of improvisation, which is rooted, you know, going back to jazz music, to gospel, to spirituals. And I think that is a huge part of music in general, especially America's contribution to the musical lexicon.
So the collaboration with people coming from all different backgrounds, tell me a little bit more about the different backgrounds people are bringing to this band. How many members are there in the Fantastics?
There are technically 9 of us. Our trumpet player is also a player on cruise ships. He has kind of a funk background. The core of the band is what I consider the drummer, whose name is Ashley, the guitar player, and the bass player. And those three had a band called Stone Deaf, which was a prog rock band prior to us. And they dabbled heavily in jam band type of styles. And so
that makes so much sense with the winding river of sound that you were just describing, where it sounds one way and then you're like, this is the same song and it's still going for a while, but it doesn't actually sound like the beginning.
Exactly. So, yeah, I mean, there's metal. There's got our drummer's basically a church drummer. Our guitarist he majored in guitar in college. And so we've got all these different genres that are just kind of mashed up together.
Tell me about the metal, because metal and gospel are two sounds that I never really expected to hear blended into one.
Is it?
Ever.
Is it? I mean, I don't know. I think they're kind of similar in a lot of ways, primarily just the energy and the ability to lose yourself in the music. On both of those genres are pretty similar, in my opinion. And so I think it's definitely on opposite end of the experiential spectrum, but I think
maybe just I don't know, expectations about who's listening.
Yeah, yeah, with different audience for sure. I can agree with you there.
You are also an urbanist, which I bring up because that's a part of your music, at least as a solo artist.
Yes.
Tell me about, first of all, your background. What makes you an urbanist?
I think it first and foremost probably started from the social justice piece that I'm pretty much has been instilled in me from my mother and father. My father being, like I said, a AME preacher, African Methodist Episcopal, and
here in Kansas City.
In Kansas City, yeah, and was also a civil rights attorney in Kansas City. And so I saw all these clients of his that, you know, were underrepresented, and he sacrificed a lot to make sure that they were taken care of. And so that,
can you describe that in any more detail for me? I mean, what kinds of things do you remember hearing and seeing?
Oh, I just know that, you know, attorneys are expensive, and I know that some of his clients weren't able to pay for his services, and he volunteered in a lot of ways, time, money, and effort to make sure that they were, that justice was brought when they were done wrong. I think that that's one piece of it. But also, my mother and father are from the South, and they both moved to Kansas City. My dad moved here for work. My mom moved here to marry my dad, and so I'm first generation Kansas Cityan, and they had always, when we would travel around the country, they'd always say, oh, this downtown's so much cooler than Kansas City's in Kansas. And I'm like, man, like, I'm from here. Like, you can't just bash my city because you're from different cities. And so there was always that. My cousins from St. Louis had this, you know, big competition with Kansas City. So I think those two things coupled together brought in or kind of led me to be an urbanist.
How did you originally start pursuing that? Was it always through music, or did you explore other avenues?
Actually, I kind of stumbled upon it. I tried to do music in college. I didn't like it, mostly because of the programs that I went to were too conservative. And so Gen Eds just forced me to take this class at UMKC called Urban Studies. And my professor, Jacob Wagner, kind of opened my eyes to a lot of that. And I basically loved everything that was about it. It was interdisciplinary. It talked about transportation, education, urban planning, all kind of different aspects, every aspect of a city. And that has a lot to do with, you know, demographics and geographic geography and all that. And so it just kind of lended itself to what I was interested in.
I have a clip from a rap you performed on the campaign trail with Mayor Sly James, and I'm going to play it. And then we'll talk a little bit about what it means to be not just an urbanist, but an urbanist whose main tools is music. Okay, let's hear it.
Yeah. They say that Father Time is now in a sign. From the middle of America, a diamond will shine. Who's the one that's willing to dig it down in the mine and bring the treasure to the people, every stone that he finds? As I sit back and witness my town in decline, see the genesis of Zion, the stars are aligned. But now the balance of time yields malice and crime, but the shadows allow my eyes to my rhyme to find. But hold up, where's the discussion? Our school district's spelling is sad. Nobody hears them like the hell in the cat. Nobody hears them, the media ignoring the children. In the empty buildings, the storefronts teeming with villains, so many killings. The killings are the essence where restroom headers are symbolic of things. I hope the keys to the city, like the city hall janitors, vote for Sly James, cause everybody's had enough. Yeah, I'ma vote for my man Sly James. Who's the one to bring change, Sly James? I'm the one to get it done, Sly James. Who can make the city one? Who'd you vote for?
So, not a subtle message.
Yeah. Pretty direct.
But, is it risky to align yourself so openly with a politician?
It's very risky. But, you know, life is very short as well. And so you just have to make the call sometimes. And I felt like Sly was probably the one that could bring about the most amount of change, just because I knew him personally as well, because we were family friends. But in addition, on top of that, I think the alternative was not as viable. And so it was important for me to engage an audience that wouldn't be engaged in local politics, because I felt like it was very important.
And I guess as part of that, then after the campaign is over and a politician is in office, do you feel sort of like you are partly like on the hook, you know, whatever happens here?
Yeah. Yeah. There's that. But I mean, we're all human, and that, I mean, there's nothing I can do about that. So, yeah, I think that's definitely one of the risks, the risks of aligning yourself so closely with a politician. But I think the differences with local politics here in Kansas City that are quote unquote nonpartisan, I think it's safer to do that because you don't have to fumble through the gridlock of you know, parties.
Another thing, though, when you look at national politics and the way that various artists will sort of use their platform to let their positions be known, mm-hmm. a lot of times it's just by showing up and kind of being like, hey, I'm here, I like this person. But to compose an original song, yes. to be used on the campaign trail with the message that, like, you want people to vote for this candidate.
Totally.
That's a pretty significant level of effort. I mean, what inspires you to insert yourself on that level? You also have a streetcar song.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, it works both ways. It's something that, you know, it's two birds in one stone. So on one hand, I'm engaging people in a new, fresh way that people wouldn't normally see in Kansas City. And I'm also gaining a reputation of being someone that's supportive of Kansas City local issues. And also, you know, I reap the benefits of that, you know, and I have to survive as an artist as well. And so it's just a win-win for me.
But having grown up with parents who are always pointing out how other cities might appear cooler.
Yeah.
Were you ever tempted to go to one of those places?
Oh, yeah, I was tempted. I lived in L.A. for a couple months, and I didn't like it. It was pretty much right after high school. I had a buddy, and we started a studio, and we were like, oh, let's move to L.A. and start a studio. And that was really, really green. That was really stupid of me. And
wait, what was stupid about it?
Oh, just the idea that an 18-year-old can go out to L.A. and survive and open a studio. That is just not smart. So, yeah, there was that temptation. But, you know, when I was growing up, there was an inferiority complex that I'm not sure if my kids will have here in Kansas City, luckily. But there was definitely this Kansas City stinks, and like every city's better than KC. Even St. Louis was apparently better than Kansas City. I'm not sure if it is anymore.
You know, a songwriter came to my school when I was growing up and had us write a song about Kansas City. And I remember like the chorus started with, and the kids in the class wrote this together, but it started with Kansas City, what a pity. That was the rhyme in the song.
Yeah.
I don't think that would happen now.
Yeah, I don't think so either. There are still some after effects of that inferiority complex. I mean, you still see shirts being made that's like cow tipping. And I mean, I just don't buy the cowtown thing anymore. I don't think we're there anymore. I think we're more of a cosmopolitan, small town feel, but big city.
Getting back to you as a musician, you go by the Phantom. Why is that?
I have always been one that appreciates, at my heart, I'm a shy person, at the core. I'm shy and I'm an introvert.
I don't believe you.
Yeah, I've re-socialized myself to not be. But I've always been one to want to stay behind the veil, and not to reference Game of Thrones, but stay behind the veil and just unleash something that was unexpected. And I think a phantom kind of embodies that. It's someone that's fluid, it's someone that, or something, or it, something that is able to move around freely and just surprise and just disappear again. And so I've always been attracted to that.
Is that related to the name of your band, which is the Fantastics with a PH?
Yes, that's right. The Fantastics, I mean, we came together as a band that basically, we started out just doing my songs, live versions of my solo songs. And so I just felt like it was natural to add a PH to the word fantastic. There was no other word to describe the band, in my opinion, was fantastic. Every time we perform, there's always somebody that was like, that was fantastic. And I'm like, yeah, cool, thanks, that is our name.
With being quote-unquote dance floor activators, I mean, do you find that challenging?
It is challenging, especially when people aren't imbibing. It is, you know, it is challenging, and that we love that challenge. We love it, especially when children are around. Whenever we can show them that there's local music that is danceable, that sounds like some stuff on there on the radio, we love it.
Well, Kemet Coleman, with us from the Fantastics, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thanks so much for having me.
The next opportunity to catch the Fantastics is tonight in Lawrence during the KU kickoff, which is a big party on Mass Street. But they've got lots of shows this month, including an appearance in the Crossroads Music Festival. Check out the band's website for all that information. They're fantasticswithaph.com. And you can listen back to everything that we talked about today, the play Men on Boats, the quixotic performance at the Block Building, and the Fantastics at kcur.org/centralstandard. That'll all be ready for you later today. Again, that's kcur.org/centralstandard. It's the weekend, but you can stay in touch with us all the time on Twitter. We're at kcurcst. And that brings this week to a wrap. This show is produced by Matthew Long Middleton, Sylvia Maria Gross, Jen Chen, Andrea Todd Hope, and Suzanne Hogan, with lots of help from intern Danielle Hogarty. Our theme music is by Spoonbender Labs, and Linda Scher runs the board for us every day. I'm Gina Kaufman. Have a great weekend. Up to Date is next. Do not miss it.